That was pretty good this morning. I like that. You're learning. You're slow learners, but we're learning, okay? I appreciate that. So, as Gary just mentioned, you know, the Philippines is really getting walloped right now. They are just absolute destruction. This morning, Pastor Don commented that they have actually evacuated 1 million people to safety at this point. 1 million people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. A lot of people in a country that doesn't necessarily have the same resources we have. So while we got up this morning and we all decided to take a peek outside and we saw this beautiful white stuff that's out there, that really doesn't even compare, does it? It's pretty minuscule compared to what they're feeling there. So don't just be in prayer for Pastor Don, but yes, please do, but the reality is we have missionaries that are in that area as well that are going to be greatly impacted by this, not just today and tomorrow, but there's going to be a long-term impact. So continue throughout the week and the weeks coming to keep them in your prayers and your thoughts. They are going to be in need of a lot of prayer, okay? So today, we are going to kick off week two of our November series. If you were here last week, Jeff Burpee kicked off the series Just Three Words. He taught us why the words, I love you, must be more than just a phrase that we say without thought. When we say I love you, it should reflect the same love that God has for each of us. When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus replies in Matthew 22:36, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. But he didn't stop there. He follows it up in verse 39, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jeff stressed that the love is not an emotion. It's an action. It's an action. It is something we are to do, not just something we are to feel. So if you weren't able to catch the message last week, that's fine. We completely understand. But I would encourage you to give it a listen on our website. If you're not familiar, gc3.org. Go ahead and give it a listen. Jeff did a great job last week. So for this week and today, we're going to talk about three more words. Much like I love you from last week, we often take this next phrase for granted as well. We tend to use it as a means of showing good manners or a cultural norm rather than in the biblical sense. Often it is used to show politeness toward another person. Our three words this week, God bless you. History tells us there have been a few reasons how this phrase came about and why it was used. Probably the most popular reason it was used today is after somebody sneezed. The irony was, as I was sitting in the back and they were getting ready to start the music, there was a sneeze in the back, and I almost blurted out, God bless you. Right? But is that the way we're supposed to use it? And our culture today has even shortened God bless you to just the phrase, bless you. You guys are great. So why do we say God bless you after someone sneezes? Why do we say it? Think about it. There are several theories as to how the phrase came to be used. One is that around the 6th century, in the height of the bubonic plague, Pope Gregory the First encouraged the use in response after a sneeze. Sneezing was one of the symptoms and considered a sign of illness during the time. The Pope thought saying, God bless you, would provide a blessing of protection from God as people fell ill. It's a way of protecting people. Another theory was that sneezing somehow could expel the soul of an individual. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? On that same line, when I was talking with my wife about this, she's like, I thought the thing was, is that when somebody sneezed, their heart stopped. We should hand her on a lot more pepper, okay? Because if that's what it takes to get people going, let's do it. But as far as the soul leaving the body, they would say, God bless you, as a way to protect the person from evil spirits entering as the soul had left. Yet another theory, far different than any illness, was that a sneeze actually was a blessing from God. So in return, it was considered appropriate and polite and courteous to offer a return blessing to him. How many of you say, God bless you, when somebody says, God bless you? Nice way of returning the favor. Today, we use it as a lot less means of relying on God and his blessings and more of a polite thing to say. The religious intent behind it has really been devalued. We just say it now. We don't even think about it. Much like I love you from last week, we just say things and we don't truly think about why we say them. I'm going to play a short video here. Some of you may have already have seen this, but when we play it, you'll get the hint. Now, some of you are like, okay, why did he show Donald Trump? Listen, this isn't about Trump, okay? But this is to show that even our president can fall into the trap of using a phrase as a polite gesture rather than in a biblical way. He clearly was using this more of as a politeness or a cultural norm than as a godly tool. So as believers, what is the correct usage of God bless you? Think about it. What is the correct usage? I think to fully understand the importance of the phrase, we must first break down the three words. And I'm not going to lie, we could easily turn those three words into a monthly long series, but we're not going to do that today because I'm not going to bore you to death. Okay? We're going to give you the condensed version, the Cliff Notes version for those of you with ADHD like myself, okay? Shortened version. You're welcome. So we're going to start with the phrase God. As a believer, this should cause you to think why. And if you're not a believer, it should make you ask who. In the Christian faith, we believe that God is the end-all, be-all. He is the creator of everything that was, is, and will be. He is the very reason for our existence. And because of that, we consider him our Father. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. He is full of grace, but he is also just. He is loving, and he is kind. But what might be the most important quality for God bless you, is that he is able to do all things. Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when we say God bless you, we're calling on God to do something that we can't. His supernatural nature gives him the ability to go beyond the things that you and I can do. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest for a minute. If we were capable of doing the things we ask of him, would we even ask for help? If we could do what he could do for us, would we ask for help? I'll just be honest, the answer is no. Our sinful nature would push us to eliminate the need for him in our lives. We would no longer rely on Him. We would become our own little g gods. And my friends, that is why we are constantly in the mess we are in every single day. Again, only He is able to do all things. Our next word, our next phrase and word is bless, sometimes referred to as a blessing. This is a word that is often misused and misunderstood, both in secular and Christian circles. It gets thrown around as though God is somehow a little genie in a bottle. And what He does for us is grant wishes. He grants wishes. That's what a lot of people think. It is completely focused on what we want, because it's my wish, instead of what He can provide. But what does it really mean when we say bless? In the biblical sense, a blessing is a statement of goodwill and happiness. And it's said about another person, as well as the condition that fulfills those good words. The condition that fulfills those good words. Happiness, goodwill for someone else. This definition we get from four words that are translated in the Bible as the word blessing that we know. Two of them from the Old Testament in Hebrew, Barak and Esther. And then two Greek words from the New Testament, Makarios and Eulogio. Together, these four words speak of God's work in our lives, our understanding of His authority, and the happiness and fulfillment we find through Him. God has extreme power in the blessings that He can provide us. Our final word of the three is the word you. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I'm looking at the three words, and I'm thinking about the word you, and I'm like, this is the easy one. Y-O-U. It's pretty simple, right? But it's not. It actually was one of the more complicated ones of the three. Because the things we take for granted, you was probably one of the first words we learned as a child in school. Y-O-U. It's not that simple. Originally, the word you was to describe a group of people. It was a plural used word. But our culture has kind of changed how we view the word you, and now it is often used to describe a single individual. So over time, that transformation has really changed how we focus on that word. Originally, you could have been an entire table. Now you might just be that person. And when we use it in our term, God bless you, the word you can be used as both. That's the beauty of it. We can bless a group of people or we can bless an individual. But what it is used for is addressing people. As an example, I will lend you the book. You shouldn't work so hard. That made you happy, didn't it? Made me happy too. But it can also be used to refer to an indefinitely described person, which is kind of a weird term, but there's no really other way I could describe it. And that would be in the phrase, you can't win them all. It's not specific to anybody, but it is for someone. For our phrase, God bless you, is about a group of people or an individual that we're addressing. So when we combine the words God, let's do this side, God bless you, we find that a blessing is not just a kind word, it is a call for God's authority in the person's life. It has both a spiritual and practical revelation to it. We are requesting for God to impart His will on someone's life, to make them part of His bigger plan, but to provide them with happiness and goodwill while accomplishing it. Do you guys realize that God's blessings are as old as His creation? Even in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, we see several instances of blessings. But today I want to point out just one. Turn with me to Genesis 12, if you would, please. In Genesis 12, we're going to turn to verse 2. And we read, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." This passage is God's promise to Abram, later known as Abraham. And in this passage, we see three things. We see that through God's blessing, a promise of abundance. He is going to grow Abram or Abraham's family into something much larger, a nation. The next thing we see is His blessing will also make Abraham's name great. He's not referring to great in a sense that he's going to be a celebrity, something like that. We're going to see great in a historical sense. Because what's going to sprout from Abraham is a family lineage in this nation that goes all the way back to him. So as you're sitting at your table right now, I want you to stop and think for a moment. How far back can you trace your last name? How far back can you take it? Now imagine if you could say, "I am a nation, and that nation arose from my grandfather, or my great-grandfather, or my great-great-great-grandfather." That's how He's going to make His name great. And then finally, we see the promise that the family of Abraham will be a blessing to others. Through God, His family will have the power to influence and change the lives of many. So when we're willing to ask God's hand in our lives, ask Him to direct us down His path, the results can have a kingdom impact. Abraham is the perfect example of how God bless you works. Just like Abraham, though, and his blessing from God, our lives have the ability to do great things too. Now, I want to caution you, I'm not saying that we're all going to be worldly famous because of the things we do with God's life hand on our life. But we are called to change the world as well. May not be the masses, but we are called to impact someone. That someone could be a person. That someone could be a group of people, a church, or even a community. And when we are faithful to God and ask His blessing on our lives and the lives of others, we too can maximize our impact for the kingdom. So earlier we talked about the word you. The word you, Y-O-U, can be used to describe a single individual or a group of people. So far, our focus today has been pretty much on a single individual. But what if we switched it to a group of people, made it plural? What if instead of "God bless you," we changed it to "God bless America"? God bless America. I heard some of you, right? How do the three words, "God bless America," make you feel? How does it make you feel? Does it stir up proud memories of days gone by? Or does it stir up frustration? Do the words make you think deeper about our country? Does it make you wonder if God still sees America as worthy of his blessing? Jeff spoke last week about love. He mentioned that we are all created in the image of God. We are his creation, and we are his children. And because he loves us, we are to love others. 1 John 4:19, verses 19, said, "We love because he loved first." God loves us as Americans, so we can be sure of that. Regardless of how you view the current state of America, God still sees our potential as a great nation. And we're a great nation of his people. He has not given up on us. Even though some of us may have given up on ourselves, he has not given up on us. America was founded by godly people following biblical principles. Yet just like the Israel of old, we better heed the warnings of God. We better heed them. If we don't, we're destined for trouble. As Americans, if we will submit to his plans, follow his paths, and share his story, we too can once again feel his blessings. Unlike many places in the world, we still have some freedoms here in the United States. Freedom of speech, freedom of faith. And those freedoms are protected by the men and women who have served in our armed forces. November 11th, 1919, the same year Denny was born. I'm just kidding, not the same year Denny was born. Close. Almost, okay? November 11th, 1919. This may not be the holiday that many of you remember, but for the lost generation, this was the one-year anniversary of the end of World War I. President Wilson proclaimed it as Armistice Day with the following message. "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy and peace and justice in the councils of nations." Then in 1954, following the Second World War, Congress changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. They did this to include veterans from all wars, not just the First World War. So we're going to take a moment here, and we would like to take this time to recognize anyone who has served in the armed forces. Would you please stand if you have served? Look around the room. Stand back up for a second. Look around the room. These people have put it all out there for us. They have served honorably, and they have served faithfully. And for that, on behalf of Grace Church, we would like to say thank you for your service. Thank you. So just like veterans, we as Christians are called to exemplify some traits. But these veterans exemplify many traits that are consistent with the qualities God asks of each of us. I want to touch on three traits that I believe are important. Number one, our veterans embody what it means to sacrifice. They understand the sacrifices they endure or can endure when they join. They assume the risk of danger during times of conflict. They suffer from the physical, emotional, and mental demands associated with their careers. They knowingly give up time with their families, and they know that at any moment they could pay the ultimate price with their lives for our country. Thank you again. You know, as Christians, we're also called to make sacrifices. We're called to take up our crosses and follow Jesus Christ. We are called to die to our old selves and live for God. Think about that for a moment. That's an immense sacrifice. And how many of us are willing to do it daily? Even in this day and age, we're watching Christians right now in Nigeria be slaughtered by the thousands. The number's actually well into the 100,000s. 100,000 plus Christians slaughtered in Nigeria over the last several years as a sacrifice for living out their faith. Just like soldiers, they too are paying the ultimate price, but this time for the kingdom. Enough of that. I got to get off it before I cry. Ready? The second thing, our veterans exemplify what it means to give their service. A veteran's commitment to the country goes beyond just being a job. They serve with loyalty, duty, respect, and courage while dedicating their lives to protecting the country they love, all while upholding honor, integrity, and a selfless spirit of service. Their mission is bigger than any single person. The third thing, our veterans ensure our sovereignty, also known as our freedom. The entire purpose of our armed forces is to protect the United States against evil. They face these threats here, at home, and abroad. They answer the call at a moment's notice, and they place the greater good of our country above all else. America is the country they defend. There's a quote by Joseph Campbell that I think sums up these traits well. And that quote is, "A hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. For that, we should be eternally grateful." Our veterans have some pretty amazing qualities, even beyond the three that I just talked about. These qualities often hold true of the great qualities that God asks of us. Our sacrifice, our service, and our freedom or our sovereignty. Just as our veterans are willing to serve a bigger purpose, we are called by Christ to serve a bigger purpose too. God bless America, and in turn, God bless our veterans. Thank you. We're going to play a short video for you guys. I think that's about the 12th, 13th time I've watched that video this week. Teresa's crying. You're going to get me crying. Knock it off. Their service is not recognized enough. One day is not enough. It is not. You know, the irony was, is I was looking for a video that I thought would accurately represent Veterans Day. Some of you probably saw the sacrifice service and sovereignty up there, and you probably thought, oh, that's where he got his points. But God works in weird, weird ways, ways that I do not understand. Because I had those 3 points on a piece of paper, and then God brought that video to me. That is not coincidence. That is divine intervention. Thank you, veterans. So as we close our time today, usually there's a list of 2 or 3 or 4 points that you can take home and apply to your life. I'm going to leave you with just one single point today that you can apply. God bless you. God bless you. This phrase should be a powerful tool in our arsenal as we serve God for His kingdom. Should be. Not a polite gesture, not a cultural norm, a real tool. But just like any tool, it has to be used correctly. My challenge to all of you is this. I want you to actively, the word actively here, seek out people in your lives that you can ask God's blessing on. Not because of a sneeze, not at the end of a letter, not as a polite thing to say, but somebody who genuinely needs God's blessing. A genuine call for God to bless others, to provide them with goodwill, happiness, and the desire to lean on Him for purpose. Those who need His protection while doing so. We know God answers prayer, so keep praying for the blessing and keep praying for the favor of God in the lives of others. I want to read to you Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. I don't know about you, but that's reassuring to me. That is reassuring. And so while we are asking for God's hand, we too can demonstrate how to be a blessing by sharing our time, our talents, our treasure, and our testimony. We can pass along the blessings of God to people around us. Look for opportunities in your family, at work, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, even here at church, to bless others. Share these things with them. You do not need to rearrange your entire day to look for opportunities. Believe it or not, God provides them everywhere. Everywhere. Just have to open our eyes and look. Too many of us do this. Too many of us do this. Too many of us think because we work from home, we can't bless other people. That's insanity. open your eyes and look and listen. It's everywhere. This Tuesday, November 11th, we just saw Armistice Day, now known as Veterans Day. This Tuesday is Veterans Day. So while you're rushing to work and you stop at the coffee shop and you want to get yourself a cup of coffee and you see a veteran, buy him a cup of coffee. When you bust out of the office at lunch to grab lunch real quick and you're paying for your meal and there's a veteran sitting there, pick up their tab. And you're saying, that's great, Nick, I don't have a lot of money. It's okay. Let's do it another way. You ready? What if you put your hand out? Shook their hand and said, thank you for your service. Thank you. A simple handshake. A simple handshake. Or even to say instead, thank you for your service, say God bless you to them. Not as a polite thing to say. I don't know about you guys, but I know a few veterans that could use some blessings. I know a few. I probably know more than a few. That simple handshake, that simple extension of a hand, that simple holding of a door, saying thank you and God bless you, will bring out probably the biggest smile you will have seen in a very long time. That smile of gratitude. We should always look to honor those who have served. America is the land of the free because of our brave veterans. So my hope today is that you can see the importance of using just three words. Three words can have such an impact. Three little words. God bless you. God bless you can be a powerful tool in our lives. How will you use it? I want to leave you with one last quote by Pastor Robert Schuller. Some of you might know the name, much older generation. Younger people probably don't, and it's okay. But I want to leave you with one last quote. The truth of the matter is that you always know the right thing to do. The hard part is doing it. We know the right thing to do. We know how to use God bless you. Let's do it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just want to say first and foremost, thank you for those who are in attendance today who have served. I want to say thank you for the impact they have had on all of our lives. I want to thank you for the sacrifices they made, their service and commitment to our country, and for keeping us free. I sincerely want to say thank you to them. Lord, many of them came back damaged and broken. Lord, help heal them. Help them find the resources that they need. Help them to find the ability to still be part of a great nation here in America. Father, for the people in attendance here today and those listening online, I just want to ask, would you continue to help us use the words that you give us appropriately? Continue to use three little words, just three words, in the framework in which you would like us to biblically. Help us to honor you with them. Help us to honor others with them. And help us to call you into their lives. Father, when we do so, it doesn't just impact us. It doesn't just impact that person. that has the power to impact your entire kingdom. One small step moves us all forward. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Please keep the Philippines safe. And as we move out of here today, I just want to say for everybody here, God bless you. Amen. Lisa.